This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, with that Delta variant, that mutant form of COVID-19 continuing to surge, not only across the state, but indeed around the country, well, it's resulted in a test of all the patience that we have to muster. And my heart goes out to school administrators everywhere as, the ever-changing requirements and suggestions and guidelines, particularly when it comes to masking for kids in schools, it continues to change. Yeah, change is the new normal. 808 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gale from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It was just a couple of weeks ago that the Greeley Evans District 6 Board of Education voted to require masks for pre-kindergarten through 8th grade students and staff, Northridge High School students and parents. Well, they just recently protested a COVID-19 mask requirement, and people getting pretty darn vocal about this. And it's kind of a conundrum, particularly one that Dr. Deirdre Pilch, Superintendent Greeley Evans School District 6, knows very, very well. Dr. Pilch, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Gail. How are you?
I am doing well. And how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there. We got kids in school. Kids are learning. So it's going pretty darn well, considering.
See, there you
things.
Go. I like that. You're looking at the glass half full. You're looking at the positives in this entire situation. But I wanted to ask you about this coming out of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment with some new COVID-19 guidance urging local mask mandates for every person in K through 12 schools statewide, recommending that public health departments and school districts require masks at school regardless of vaccination status or the level of COVID-19 transmission in the community. Boy, that kind of puts you between a rock and a hard place now, doesn't it?
It sure does. I was on a Zoom call with the governor and the state epidemiologist, Rachel Herlihy, on Friday morning, with other superintendents up and down the Front Range, just hearing this latest guidance and hearing the governor really asking us to take more steps to mitigate and quite frankly, asking us to require vaccines among our staff, which is certainly a conversation for the future. It's not action, we're taking at this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and it certainly is the third rail when it comes to COVID-19. This, as you had Joe Biden making his announcement about vaccine mandates for companies with over 100 employees. But yeah, definitely a conversation we have to get into at another time. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, when the Greeley Evans District 6 Board of Education did take that vote to require masks for PK through 8 students and staff, let's just say that, you're not alone, okay? That's the first point that needs to be made. But let's just say that this is a thorny issue for many parents and students.
No question it is. Many parents and students and staff believe that, that it's a personal choice to wear a mask or not wear a mask. And there's, lots of differing opinions about mask wearing. And so it's controversial. And, every single superintendent, I think, in the state of Colorado, well, probably throughout the nation, is working through issues around this. We are continuing to weigh both sides of the kind of the thoughts on mask wearing, and it looks like it'll be vaccinating that we're weighing both sides on in the future too. And mm-hmm. It's complex, Gail. There's no question about it. And parents want choice, and there are families who are generally concerned about the safety of their children and their staff members who are concerned about their own personal safety. And so it's very complex, and we continue to look at the data and make the decision based on the data, looking at what cases are doing here in our community and then we make, you know, the decisions as we need to. I do think this latest announcement from CDPHE does make things more complex again for us as school superintendents, saying, please do this, but we're not issuing a public health order, so your local health department should do that for you. And the role of our local health department has been advisory and to provide information. About our last call with the director of public health said they were recommending we follow CDPHE's guidance. So we'll see. We have a call again today. We do a Zoom every Monday with the health department and other Weld County superintendents. So, you know, we'll see where the health department is today and what kind of insight they may have for us. And, you know, we'll continue to adjust as we need to.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when the president made that announcement just last week, late last week, about these vaccine requirements for large employers and federal workers, and, well, the list goes on and on, the one statement that he made that really caught my attention, I'm not trying to drag you into politics here, but he said, I think it's rather illustrative of what we are talking about as you're looking at vaccine mandates. He said, this isn't about freedoms. This isn't about personal choice, to which I rather snarkily responded. Funny, I thought that's what this nation was all about, freedoms and personal choice. But you are faced with a conundrum because, in my opinion, it should be up to the parents to make that choice for their children.
Yeah, it's certainly a conundrum. There's no question about it. And, you know, that's been my position as superintendent as we come into this school year. And of course I respectfully work for a 7-member elected board. And when the decision was made to put students in masks in K-8, you know, of course I honor that decision and implement that decision. I think the question for us really as superintendents is until, you know, once we're waiting for the rulemaking on Biden's decision here, we need to see what the rulemaking says. Cause indeed, we have more than 100 employees, but we're not private. And so will that apply to us as a school district employing more than 100 people? The other is we do receive significant federal funding, Title I funding. Yeah, Head Start. Well, and he's been clear, Head Start's going to be required. He did call out Head Start. So Head Start will be required to mask. But, you know, all of our Title I schools, those are significant federal dollars in those Title I schools, and I think that's, 17 or so of our schools, you know, over half of our schools. And so we'll wait for that rulemaking and see what comes from the federal government on that. And in the meantime, you know, keep talking with our local health officials and watching our cases. We've actually seen cases stabilizing, and particularly at Greeley West and Greeley Central, they're not seeing a significant increase in cases, and at the elementary level where we now masked everybody, we're seeing very few quarantines, because once you're in masks, if everybody's in a mask, you don't have to quarantine. So that's been really beneficial for keeping kids in school and not having to send children home, and I think that's been helpful to parents, you know, to not have their children quarantined. But this continues to be the greatest challenge of my career, probably, Gail.
Dr. Pilch, I have long said you could not pay me enough to be a member of law enforcement, a judge or a teacher, or in your case, the superintendent of Greeley Evans School District 6, because, boy, I'll tell you what, the challenges just keep on coming. But once again, focusing on the positive, enrollment is up. Students who left Greeley Evans School District 6 last year, they're coming back to school, and that's good news.
Yeah, it's great news, Gail, and we're really pleased to see students coming back and families, rejoining us who maybe chose to homeschool or to keep their little one out for another year before starting kindergarten. And so enrollment is up. We've been in schools. Kids are learning. Teachers are working so hard. They know that kids have lost out on lots of opportunity over the past year and a half, and teachers are working hard to make up for that. And, you know, we know how to do this now. We know how to do this, whatever gets thrown at us. We've done this for over a year now. You know, we know how to do what we need to do to get schooling done. in a pandemic. And, you know, this past week we just had homecoming at Northridge, and they knew how to do homecoming now with some of the requirements that are in place. So they had to dance outdoors.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to wear masks outdoors. I mean, because I, you know, I mean, I just doesn't go with prom attire.
I think some of them probably still did wear masks, but, you know, they were fancy masks that matched their, their dresses.
Well,
but
and,
yeah, we
and
don't
again,
require masks outdoors.
I'm sorry, say again?
We do not require masks for outdoor activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, and again, I love the position using this to the best of your ability as a teachable moment. I love the position that Greeley Evans School District 6 has taken when it comes to wearing or not wearing masks, no bullying from either side of the debate.
Well, yeah, you know, we want to stay out of the political fray, which is really hard to do in this day and age with all that is happening in our country. But our job is, you know, to get kids educated and to educate them well and prepare them for their future. And I'm telling you, our teachers are doing that every single day. And our administrators, our support staff, I mean, they are working hard.
Well, the last thing we want to see, and again, this is not a shot, and I don't want it to be perceived that way. I mean, school districts, including Greeley Evans School District 6 across the country, did everything they could to facilitate the learning process through remote learning, but that's the last thing that we want to go back to.
That's absolutely right, Gail. And so, I mean, that's why we made the decision to put students in masks at Northridge High School. Once they tipped over 2% of their total population being positive for COVID, you know, at the same time, so on a given day, once they tipped over that number, it became apparent we needed to get everybody into masks or we were going to be seeing, you know, high numbers of quarantine again and going remote. And that's the last thing we want, is to have to send entire classrooms and entire schools fully remote.
Well, Dr. Pilch, needless to say, you've got a lot on your plate, a lot to get to, I'm sure, today, but always appreciate the conversation with you. And thank you for your level-headed approach to all of this and your flexibility, mastering the art of the pivot.
Thank you, Gail. I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about what's happening in our school district. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great day. 820 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, this time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an incredible production. Oh, it's so uplifting, of Footloose, the musical, through November 14th. For tickets and show information, just jump online, visit coloradocandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Those things get a little contentious, a little snitty at school board meetings across the country, usually a rather staid affair. It begs the question, are we going off the rails when it comes to mask mandates? Ari Armstrong is a contributor to Complete Colorado and really has some pretty profound thoughts on this. You can find his piece in Complete Colorado. Just go to CompleteColorado.com, click on that page 2 link, and the headline kind of says it all as he writes, "Let's get serious about protecting kids in school." Ari Armstrong joins us this morning. Hey, Ari.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. How about you this morning?
Doing pretty well myself, yeah.
Well, I think you make some very cogent points in your piece, because now we've got kids walking out of school in protest over these mask mandates. You've got, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment coming out to urging mask mandates for every person in K through 12 schools statewide. A matter of no small amount of controversy and debate. But again, as I said in the open, it's like we have come off the rails. And as you write in your piece, many people would rather scream at each other about masks than figure out what it takes to keep students and the adults they interact with safe in school.
Well, I have two main points in my article. My main issue is that there are actually better ways to keep kids safe than through mask mandates. So we can talk about masks in a minute, but let's talk about this other stuff first that matters more. So first of all, I want to just emphasize that the FDA continues to hang up vaccinations for children under 12. So, for example, I have a six-year-old. I could not take my six-year-old in to get vaccinated against the disease. So guess what? He got COVID. That's how he got his immunity, the hard way. Mm. So I can't – it's kind of interesting to me that all these people on the left are – so adamant about masks. Oh, we have to force people to wear masks. But they won't say word one about, hey, let's let parents who want to vaccinate their children against COVID go and do that. That's how you stop people from getting this disease. Masks are radically less effective than vaccination and preventing disease.
Of course.
But there's another point that's, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask, and I'm so sorry to hear that your six-year-old contracted a COVID-19. How rough was it for him?
For him, he was a typical child case, so he was not symptomatic. We only know that he got the virus because we did a test and he tested positive because he had been exposed to other children. Now, a couple of the children that he was exposed to that also tested positive, they did end up getting some symptoms. But, we've known from the start that children are less prone to get the disease, less prone to get seriously ill from the disease if they contract it.
And that's the one constant in this entire ever-revolving door conversation relative to the changing science and following the science, whatever science they're following. What is the science du jour? The one constant is, as you just said, that yes, kids can get it, but with rare exception, they don't get the brunt of it.
Yes. Now, the rare exceptions are extremely tragic, right? There have been hundreds of child deaths in the country. Mm-hmm. But then the key variable here is the Delta variant is more transmissible. And before we vaccinate the children, we have put all the children together indoors in school. That's the big problem. So there have been dozens of COVID outbreaks in Colorado schools. But that leads me to my second point. There's a much better way, even without vaccines, to keep the virus from spreading, and that is simply to take classes outside. Now, you can get a lot of the benefit just by opening up your windows so that you're getting good ventilation. Ventilation is more important than masks for preventing spread of the disease. We are hearing some talk about ventilation. I've heard some of that from the state health department. But I haven't heard of a single classroom in Colorado taking class outside. Maybe somebody is. It's interesting. So I follow Nicholas Christakis on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the first thorough book about the pandemic. It's called Apollo Zero. And a couple days ago, he actually tweeted a photograph from 1918 during the flu pandemic where they were taking classes outside and having class outside. Because this virus spreads through mouth spray. That's how it primarily spreads. When you go outside, you're getting the ventilation, you're getting those little breezes that carries all that away and stops people to a large degree, from picking up the virus from other people. So I don't understand why we're not doing that. It seems like a simple, no-brainer solution to me, especially the weather is that we had a couple hot days recently, but now it's cooling down. I think we're going to have some rain maybe today or tomorrow. But by and large, Colorado weather in the fall is gorgeous. It's not that hard to put up a sunshade if you want to shade an area. It's not that hard to find a shady spot under a tree. So this to me is like, we're so excited about masks. Well, guess what actually works a lot better than masks, and nobody could complain about it, taking classes outside. I mean, plus, guess, it's just a lot more fun to have class outside than inside. I mean, you went to school, right? I mean, does every kid want to do? They want to get out of the classroom and go outside.
So, all right. So, here is the contrarian argument to that, and I'm sure you're ready for this. Well, that's all well and good, Ari, until the weather changes and we go into the winter months. Then what?
Yeah, and I can see that. So, but, you know, it's not even fall yet, officially, right? Mm-hmm. So we still have some weeks. And right now, my hope is that this fifth wave of ours has been really devastating. I mean, it's again filling up hospital beds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to doctors and nurses who are just at the end of their patience. They're at the end of their level of exhaustion. I mean, they just push themselves past any reasonable limits, and they're just tired of it. So this way, but I hope that this wave is either at its peak or will peak soon. I don't know. And then I hope that this is the last major wave that we face. So if this wave starts to decrease in severity over the coming weeks, which we'll keep our fingers crossed, then keeping classes outside right now might just get us past the brunt of this wave.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Get us over that proverbial hump. Now, it seems to me there's a lot of ire and anger and angst, all probably born out of fear, as, you know, once again, we're witnessing school board meetings devolve into the latter-day equivalent of a WWE SmackDown. How much virtue signaling is going on? Because you make an excellent point that many people are intellectually unserious about the mass debate.
Well, right, and the reason I say that is because if you were being serious, you would talk about these other things that matter more than masks, right? But very few people seem to be doing that. However, that said, I do think that a lot of people are losing their minds over masks. I mean, I do think it has a lot to do with partisan tribal signaling and not that much to do with practicality. I mean, look, like I said, I have a six-year-old. He has worn a mask to numerous events. It barely bothers him, right? He would prefer not to wear a mask, but he doesn't squawk and moan if I ask him to put a mask on because that's required for a certain event. It just doesn't make any difference. Now, I did have one problem with myself wearing a mask. I got what they call mask knee on the end of my nose when the mask was running. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? That's not that big a deal, okay? I can live with that.
Break out the Clearasil.
Plus, I got some different kinds of masks. Actually, my favorite mask now is made by 3M. You can, again, get high-quality masks at Home Depot. And it's called the Aura mask, A-U-R-A. And it folds out. It has a really nice nose seal, and it kind of folds out into a little cup. And so I like that mask a lot better. So I have better masks, too, if I need to wear one. You know, so, but on the other hand, let's face it, if you've ever seen kids wear masks, they usually don't do a very good job of it. So I kind of understand the argument, and there might be some argument that children do better when they can see and respond to facial cues.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so I understand all that, and I think that it's worth talking about those things. But at the same time, I just don't think it's not that big a deal to wear a mask. So I just don't understand on both sides why people are so animated about this issue. I mean, I could list hundreds of things that are more important than whether you have to wear a mask, okay, to our normal lives.
Right.
Like and Afghanistan, it's not just like China building more nuclear weapons.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, you know, there's it goes on and on.
Exactly. But, you know, it's interesting, and I'm glad you went there, because particularly talking about vaccines, and you had President Biden coming out after, well, as a candidate, and, well, for months after his election, he went on to say that, no, the government will not mandate vaccines, which, as we're well aware, it turned around and did just that. But when it comes to kids getting vaccinated, shouldn't it be a parent's choice?
Yeah, that's kind of my point. And right now the FDA has taken that choice away from me and from every other parent in the country. Mm-hmm. And this is what I don't understand about conservatives. Yeah, let's talk about parental choice. Let's call our representatives and tell them to reform the FDA such that it stops taking our choices away from us. Now, as far as the national mandate, I do think that it was – I don't think it's the federal government's role to force businesses, and it's only large businesses.
Civics 101.
Vaccine. Yeah. I mean, they're asking to play vax mandate or vax enforcer for the federal government. And so I don't think that's the right way to do it, and they're doing it through this weird OSHA mandate. And to me, if you want to say this isn't directly related to workplace safety, I mean, you can argue that there is a safety element in that you can spread the virus through work. But look, that should be – businesses can take care of this. And in fact, a lot of businesses – I have friends who work for big businesses, and they've already had – they already had vax mandates before the national mandate came down within the business, right?
Right.
And I don't have any problem with that. So I don't really see a role. I don't think this is the right way for the federal government to respond to this. Now, when we're talking about schools, right, this is another point I make in my article. These are government-run schools. So, look, when government runs the roads, who makes the rules for the roads? Mm-hmm. Government does, right? Yeah. When government runs the schools, who makes the rules for the schools? Government does. The fact is we have lots of vax mandates in schools already, measles, smallpox, et cetera. Now, you can get a waiver for this, right? It's not that hard to get a waiver. But nevertheless, I think it's generally a good idea for schools to have kids going to schools who are vaccinated. If you've seen pictures of these old pictures of kids with smallpox or what have you, these are some really horrible diseases that we've, by and large, been able to wipe out thanks to vaccines. So thank goodness for vaccines. They have saved many children's lives, many children's health. So, you know, if we want to talk about, well, should government be running the schools? Should parents have more freedom to use their educational dollars the way they want? That's a much, much larger discussion and a very different discussion. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to say, you know, if we're going to, in the context of the government-run schools, if your kid goes there, well, guess what? Guess who's going to make the rules for those schools is the government. So I don't know why this is suddenly such a surprise to people. This has been how it is since the outset of government-run schools, right? So,
yeah, definitely. Ari Armstrong, great piece, by the way, in Complete Colorado. Let's get serious about protecting kids in school. Always appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much for your time and especially your insights and your perspectives.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Take good care. 852 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh, those elk getting frisky now, taking care of business in Estes Park, Rocky Mountain National Park, and yeah, you can see some activity in Loveland as well. 855 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Yep, writes John Meyer in the Post, the elk are bugling and photos of herds in and around Estes Park have been popping up on social media, heralding the arrival of the annual mating ritual known as the rut. Now, tourists, when they visit Estes Park, often shocked to find elk just chilling in Bond Park near the center of town or strutting down the town's main drive, aptly named Elkhorn Avenue. Well, locals there know it just means it's September. It's also the season, just a gentle reminder here, when some of us need to be reminded that attempting to pose for selfies in proximity to a 700-pound male elk driven by hormonal urges is not a clever thing to do, because elks sometimes attack humans who try to get too close. Now, if you're interested in, taking in the sights, Estes Park will host its annual Elk Fest October 2nd and 3rd. The event in Bond Park and adjacent Town Hall, that'll include a bugling contest contest to live music, showings of the 20-minute film Elk of Estes Park, Native American dancing and storytelling vendors, and live raptors from the Rocky Mountain National Raptor Program. Just a gentle reminder, though, don't get too close to the elk, because they've got other things on their minds. 8:57 now. 1031-1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. A Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You're home for live and local programming. So what are you going to do? Lock it right here. Coming up, Tanner Schwint and NoCo Now. Don't forget The Hull Show at noon.